This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Ian Bolton on FUBAR Radio.
Yo, welcome to the show. It's Monday, it's 2 p.m. Come on, everyone. Technical problems coming up on the show today. At 2:30 we have Ian Brown. Oh, I'm sorry, not that one. It's the creator of adult cartoon series The Bruvs. That's The Bruvs. I was not doing a bit of technical. Technical, I'm going to do it now.
I was saying, Toby, can you just let Alex know before he goes home, because it is actually tonight, that the faders, I don't know what happened on the hip hop show, but the faders gone weird.
Awful.
Thank
They've
you.
Clearly been doing too many hip hops. Also on the show at 3:15 we have Radu Hizak, a comedian promoting the English-speaking Comedy Borsch, a night of European comedians on the 6th of May at the Albany Pub. That's Radu Hizak! Alright, emergency. Come back in, Toby, what are you saying? He's left.
Well, it's 7 minutes past six in real
life. So I'm left with this fucked fader for the whole show.
Do you know, if you'd gone quicker when I said it the first time, he probably was still here.
Yep.
I think you just took too long to go next door, Toby.
Yeah, fuck off, Toby.
Ian Bolton on FUBAR Radio.
Started now. This is the proper start now.
Yeah.
So what do we do about this fader not working? There's Sarah. Sarah Love's still over there. Hey. Oh, she just gave me a really cute look.
Did she?
Don't look at her.
All right. Well, I can't
don't let her see that. I'm looking.
You're blushing.
I'm not blushing. I'm not blushing. I'm flushed.
That's different.
Flushed is different to blushing.
Nice.
You just asked me if I've been in the pub all the way. I've been outside.
Because I saw you sitting on a bench outside. It's cold today.
It's freezing today.
May not be cold, actually. No, next Monday.
I sat on the bench for a little bit and done my vape.
Yeah, well, oh, God.
Then I went in the pub and it was just horrible in there.
Yeah.
Like, just full of people laughing really loud.
Oh, horrible people. How dare they do that?
No, but you know what I mean? When it's like forced cackling
laugh.
Yeah,
it's actually quite annoying when people do that.
And I tell you what, who else I don't like laughing? Stuart Lee.
Okay, why?
I really like Stuart, and I know Stuart a little bit, and I've met him a few times and chatted with him a few times. He sometimes does a thing, Stuart Lee, where he'll be talking normally, just his normal sort of like, you know how he talks.
Yeah.
And then in the middle of all that, he'll just laugh really loud.
So how does he laugh?
He like cackles. It's really unnerving.
Oh, well, it's quite nice to have a cackle there. It means someone genuinely finds something funny.
But it's incongruous with the rest of his demeanour, so he would just be going... Yeah, well, you see, the thing about comedy is, you know, whatever. I don't like Michael McIntyre. Blah, 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 blah. And then he'll say something and go, and it's really unnerving.
Oh, yeah.
I always think, he's going to stab someone! It's like really frightening when Stuart Lee laughs. Honestly,
okay, well,
watch him being interviewed on anything.
I will.
And I take the piss out of Stuart quite a lot, but he's, you know.
Nice guy.
I'm more on his side than others.
Are people not on his side?
Yeah,
oh,
industry-wise, I think there are people that, you know, he calls them out.
Yeah.
But I would lean towards being on Stu's side over most things. Not all things, but most things.
I do,
It's a good comedy chat, wasn't it?
That was a nice comedy chat to have a
Stuart Lee chat. Tick off Stuart Lee.
Do you know what I found very interesting on the last show? Two conversations with the guests. The longest conversation I've ever been witness to with you and Jamali talking about the specifics of vapes. That was special.
Boring, isn't it?
Really boring.
Yeah, really boring.
But he was very impressed by yours.
But to people that know about vapes, it would be interesting.
The
but to other people...
The vape community.
Yeah, but it's kind of exclusionary to other people, I think. I don't really understand how they work.
No, but he knew everything about the vape. Oh, it's a 630 millimetre...
Yeah, didn't know know what he's on
Clipper,
about.
Clipper, da 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 da.
No idea what he's on about.
Don't know what you're talking about.
About the tank and all that. Don't know what he's on about.
And also in the second guest that we're in, that nice conversation about, you know, it was like a guide to Hertfordshire, which was quite special.
That was
as well.
Interesting to me because I did used to live there. I lived on Chertsey Rise in Stevenage. Okay, can't remember the number.
I was born in a place called Chertsey. But it wasn't
a place called Chertsey.
Yes.
You say that like it's not well known, Chertsey.
Is it not?
Yeah, really well known.
For what?
For being when it's something that Birmingham is well known.
No, people have not heard of Chertsey.
Of course
in
they
Surrey.
Have.
Chertsey in Surrey.
Call in now 0330 223 0200 if you've heard of Chertsey.
What
we're not actually here, it's a pre-record.
No, but I will answer the phone if someone genuinely calls in about Chertsey.
Yeah, call
in
now. You can just speak to Nat. She's just sat in the office.
Because I don't think anyone's heard of that place.
Of course they have.
What is Chertsey well known for?
Not you, but like, it's known as a place, Chertsey.
I mean, I know Antonio Banderas, when he had a heart attack last year, was in the hospital there. Same hospital that I was born in.
Yeah, circle of life, isn't it? Circle of life.
Yeah.
excuse me, I wanted to pull you up on being arrogant. It's about 3 weeks old, the story now, but do you recall when I was sat downstairs and you came out the top, I think you were having a cigarette or something like that, whatever you were doing. And you were perching about at the top.
I was not perching anywhere.
Well, you were either having a cigarette, doing drugs, or having a drink. You might have been having a can of Stella.
Yeah, I do that often.
But you were perching at the top of the stairs. I was beneath you. And you didn't know I was beneath you.
No, I think I had my back to you.
Right.
And I did hear somebody.
And I went...
Right.
And you span around.
Right, that's so not
you
true.
You span around.
That isn't true.
So arrogant.
I looked
you
around
looked,
after
you looked
a moment.
Immediately like,
no, I didn't.
Who's wolf whistling me?
I didn't. I heard it and thought,
well,
okay, that's
probably
no,
for
no,
me.
No, I didn't think that. And then there was a big pause. But in a way, I wanted to know who was doing it. So I left it like two elephants. And then I...
You left it?
You know, like one elephant.
Oh, I see.
Two elephants.
Yeah, okay.
And then, and then I looked around and I saw it was you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then do you remember, actually, you came up the stairs, you said something annoying.
I said arrogant.
I gave you a little tap on the arm, didn't I?
Don't remember. Oh, yeah, you hit me quite hard. What was that for?
I don't know. I can't remember what you said, but I remember. I know the guy. It was a guy working in the Pleasance. Looked over as in like, oh,
assault. Mm. Yeah, physical assault.
Yeah.
So, do you know who it was? Who was working at the Pleasance? Saw that because I could probably get them to do a like write a statement.
I don't know their names.
Really hurt. Actually, I've been having trouble with that arm all week.
God's sake.
I'm not able to sleep because
it was
of it.
2 weeks ago. So.
I actually felt what I felt like when you hit me. I thought, oh, that's rattled my teeth. That when she's hit me that hard. That's it. I hope none of my teeth actually break now because that would have to be pay for all the repairs and stuff.
Well, we've talked. What do you think about wolf whistles? I mean, you did it, but
what do I think about it? It's horrible.
Generally, it's not. Yeah, it's a bit.
But at the same time, I'm not bothered if anyone thinks that I genuinely wolf whistled you.
I don't believe like, that you wouldn't be doing it. You wouldn't just do it to someone you don't know.
I don't know. I would do it as a joke. Oh. Even when it was inappropriate, I would do it. Not, okay. But no, not to a stranger.
Right,
a stranger.
Exactly. You wouldn't do it to a stranger, would you? Do it to someone that you know.
But I certainly wouldn't if I heard a wolf whistle.
Look around.
I wouldn't spin around really fast.
Well, that's not what I did. Like, I left it to see. Because I didn't think it would
who's
be
my
for
option?
Me. Oh, my God.
That's what you're doing.
I didn't.
You saw that as a potential because you're having your Stella at the top of the stairs and you were like, oh, somebody fancies a bit of this.
Yeah. And I looked around.
And then you walked all sassy back up the stairs.
Yeah.
Because you forgot it was me.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Awful, really.
Yeah, horrible. Horrible. Oh, someone's on the phone. Can you just grab the phone, please?
Is it fucking Harriet?
I don't know. Let's find out. Let's find out who it is.
Hey, Harriet.
Hello.
You all right?
Yeah.
I knew it was going to be you.
Who is this?
I could sense it was going to be you.
who is this?
Oh, now you're playing that game, are you?
Hello. Hello.
That's the game you're playing now. I like it. I like all the facets to our relationship. I'm really enjoying it.
I'm sad. Still not been to see the show. So.
I have. I came again. Did you not know?
Bollocks. No,
I did. I came again. I came on Wednesday. Wednesday matinee.
Just answer me this one question. Mm-hmm. Is Matron giving you your pills? Is Matron sorting things out? Because things are not okay, are they?
I think I am more charming without them.
Mm. You're a lone voyager there.
I think
now,
what? I think I somewhat lose my mojo with the pills.
Good. that's why Matron has to give them to you.
Mm.
Now, are you... okay, I'm not letting this go. You know that. It's not going
to
stop.
I have told you I've been to it.
Yeah, but you're lying.
I'm not.
It's lovely. Oh, please, give me a break.
I liked that song you did, the one that you do in the middle of it.
Out of the three songs, which did you like?
The middle one. That's what I said, the middle one.
I just do the one song, actually.
Oh, yeah.
No, hang on, because that's not fair, because you are on stage doing some other songs.
Okay,
so I can
I'd love to talk to you some more, but actually, I have a life. Get to the show, and And I'll see you soon. Probably next week then.
Do you know what? I'm not even joking. If I came to the show, could we go for a drink afterwards?
I've already said that to her when she came in. I have to.
Thank you.
But just me and you, though.
Oh.
Dear God. Okay. Losing the will to live. I'm just opening a vein quietly.
Okay.
It's lovely to speak to you.
And you too.
If you could please pitch up, see the effing show, like you said you would.
Drive me wild.
I've got to get on with my life.
Okay, good luck with it.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
We'll speak to her next Monday.
See you later.
Lovely.
Oh, she's hung up as well.
That's sexy.
Oh God.
I love her.
She hates me.
So I'm looking forward to her being on the show every week.
Are you?
Yeah, I really like her.
Do you think she'll soften? I hope she softens.
I don't think she will.
Get under her skin.
I think you have to go and see. You're going to have to go and see the show.
I've been three times now.
No one believes that. She doesn't believe that.
Do you not think it ends up looking like, well, hang on, what's up with this show that you need to, like, target individuals?
Do you think she's calling around other stations?
Yeah. I reckon the reason she has to go is because she's now just phoning round fucking loads of people going, why have you not been to the show yet? Why have you not been to the show?
And it just hangs up.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Okay.
That's all sassy and sexy.
I look forward to hearing from her next Monday.
I do. Do you know how old she is? How old is she?
I've no idea.
Roughly. Can we Google it?
Okay. I don't know if it's that Googleable.
Yeah, I imagine it'd be a Wikipedia for her, won't there?
Yeah.
They'll probably say her age. Not that we care. And also, let's not say her age.
Agents come up. No, I don't mean that. Age.
Okay, got it already. Got it already. So
60.
I was going to say, don't say her age. Don't make a thing about it.
It comes up on Google.
Is Helen Lederer 63?
Yeah. Well, that's what it says there. I don't know. Yes.
Whoa. 60's not out of remit, is it? I'm 24, so I could. Is that too much, or is that alright?
No, that's fine. I think 24 and 60 is fine.
She's married. Can you go back and see if she's married or not?
Okay, right. Let's have a look. Let's see.
Go Wikipedia.
She's got kids.
That's all right. I'm not bothered about that. Siblings.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that. So she might well be married. Children. Jack Thorpe doesn't say. I'll have to Google husband. It's not on her wiki.
Well, then she probably isn't then.
Smart.
Do you know what? I'm gonna get a private number and ask her on a date.
We've got her number here.
I've got to get it. It's more creepy.
Right. Harriet Thorpe, husband. I'm having a look. There's no
nothing.
Nothing coming up for husband.
Very presumptuous. Could be wife.
True. No. All right. I'll put wife in.
Yeah, I think I've got a crush on her.
I mean, who hasn't? We all had a crush on her after she left.
Yeah, but it's me that she's targeting, isn't it? Well, she keeps hassling.
Toby called her this morning. He got off the phone a little bit giggly as well.
What was she saying to you, Toby? Come in the studio, please.
And I quote, "What a babe."
Really, did
he? Yeah, after he got off the phone to her.
What number's that one?
That's two.
It's lost its sticker.
Oh, yeah. It's on the other side, actually.
Hey, Tobes.
Hi, guys. Oh, I like the nickname.
Tobes.
I feel like I've made it to part of the gang now.
Hey, Toby from Paranormal Activity. Yeah, sit down if you want. Yeah. are you looking forward to the guest today? Ian Brown and Khadu.
Yeah, it could be very
Isaac. Khadu Isaac is how you pronounce it. I was told that earlier on. Harriet Thorpe.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Well, I did get off the phone and I said, "What a babe." I meant it as more as she was so nice.
Oh, right. Okay.
Either way, it's good. It's a compliment.
Said, what a star.
Yeah.
Are you a gay man or a heterosexual man?
I'm a heterosexual man.
So would she be... do you not find her kind of like attractive?
I mean, she's old enough to be my...
That doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. God.
What's that
yeah,
matter?
No. What, yeah.
To be your what as well?
It's
what?
A bit like on my gran. I meant...
Whoa.
Oh, God.
Technically.
Yeah, but she isn't your gran.
Yeah, she's not.
No, fortunately.
I mean, that's quite important, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's not your gran, so it doesn't matter.
No,
So would you rule out anybody in your life who could either be your parent or you could be their parent? That would be it. Just even though they were of legal age, that you wouldn't enter into a relationship because they could be your parent.
What, age-wise?
Yeah.
Probably.
What's the oldest? Okay, so what's the oldest woman, or age, sorry, that
well,
you
if
would...
I'm 21.
Yep. Well done. Key to the door.
God. Okay. The door. I guess.
So technically speaking...
16.
No, wait.
16? It's the oldest.
No, but again, it's legal. So the oldest,
not the youngest.
Oh, that's the only thing
I asked him who the oldest is that he did.
That's
he date.
A good point.
And he went 16.
Who is the youngest? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, at 21 years of age, somebody who is 30...
That's fine.
Well, could, they're not old enough to...
No, they are. Of course they are.
Okay. Technically,
they're allowed to date. Of course, they're allowed to date a 21 year old.
No, but they are old enough to be your mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's technically.
That's
probably true.
So you wouldn't date somebody who was 30 is out of your range, is it?
30 probably. Probably.
It's good that actually. Nat just had to change, put the microphone near to you, which you're always doing to other people. So it just shows you how hard it is, doesn't it?
Wrong bit.
Talking the wrong bit, Tobes.
Tobes.
Go on, Tobes. So you wouldn't date a 30-year-old?
Probably not, no.
What?
Well, because if you think about it, 21 is quite... The life experience, the difference between 21 and 30 is still quite a lot, isn't it?
We could learn something,
yeah,
can't we?
That's exactly it. So, I mean, part of a relationship is you learn from the other person.
Mm. Yeah.
So you could, like, if you went with Harriet, mate, she'd fucking destroy you. But you would come out of that a stronger person on the other side.
You'd be better at everything, I think.
If you survived it.
Oh, I think you'd have a great time of relationship with Harriet. She's a sword smart, that could she's funny.
Fucking destroy you.
No, I don't think so.
No, she definitely is.
Okay.
Definitely is. Mm. So if you survived the encounter, you would come out of that, like...
Mm.
You'd walk in here, you'd have sideburns and a cig on, you'd have tattoos, you'd be like proper...
Smoking jacket, the whole thing, wouldn't you? Yeah. One of those little thin moustaches.
You'd
have all of that, yeah.
So you wouldn't go with a 30-year-old, that's mental. So what's the youngest then you would go? 10? 10 too young?
Yes.
Right answer.
Is 11 too young?
Yeah.
What's 12? The youngest woman you'd go out with? Or gentleman, whatever your choice?
Probably... 18, 12, 19.
All right. 18 or 19. Right. Okay. And the oldest? 30 is apparently too high.
That's too old. So
28, 25?
Yeah, 28, 27, 28. How is 28 and 30? How is there any discernible difference whatsoever?
Well, I think it's just perception, isn't it? Like 30, the perception is you should be... It'd be weird for a 30-year-old woman to be going out with a 21-year-old guy.
I disagree with that entirely.
If you went out to the normal, a standard person on the street, they'd probably say a bit weird.
Normal, did you say?
Well, standard person on the street.
Standard, okay.
What constitutes a standard person?
The average Joe.
The average Joe, okay.
Average Joe, so slagging off my missus.
Yes, girlfriend.
Calling her average.
Joe.
Yeah, I apologise.
She's 25, 26, I think, 25.
Is she?
Yeah, I'm 24, so she's a year older than me.
It's a good gap, yeah.
But is that wrong? Is that wrong then?
No.
I think you meet who you meet.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
As long as it falls within, obviously, the boundaries of the law. But, but you meet who you meet. So I wouldn't want to rule out for a 21-year-old, a 30-year-old lady. I think that would be like... And also, you're both in the prime of your sexual prowess as well at that point.
I think women seem to prefer older gentlemen.
Yeah.
Guys at 21 don't really... are not really into like, older women. I think older women.
Infant, isn't he? He's a toddler.
Yeah. They're kids, aren't they, boys? at 21. Yeah, whereas females are like, older silver fox kind of guy.
So this 30-year-old that's he's on about not shacking up with, you reckon she's probably better off with me, wouldn't she?
You're 24, though, so...
Yeah,
but he's happy. Right. He's had no issue with a 30-year-old. He's like, it's fine. Would you probably go 35, wouldn't you? Be all right?
Fuck
yeah.
I mean, I'm considering 60 at the moment. Yeah.
I think we all are. I am, too.
Exactly. Could have an orgy.
Yeah.
If we have an orgy, do you want to come to the orgy, Tobes?
No.
It'd be me, Nat, Harriet, and
in
you.
In tutus, as we talked about on the show two weeks ago. In tutus that we all pop out of.
All your boobs fall out of.
Yeah.
Why would you not come to the orgy? Would you not even come to it just for the experience?
Of what?
Of being in an orgy with me and Nat and Harriet.
That'd be a very weird orgy.
Oh, I mean, I'd be concentrating on Harriet.
Yeah, it's not really an orgy then.
Me and Harriet in the corner and you and Tobes sat in the corner like just feeling a bit uncomfortable.
Just sat there watching.
Just going, do we do anything or what? Yeah. What do we do?
Yeah.
Have you ever been to an orgy? Have you been in an orgy?
No.
Why not?
I've never been invited, no.
Oh. Have you, Ian? Have you been to an orgy?
Not an orgy, no.
A three or four of them?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you've been invited to or you partaked in it?
Partake to
it. Okay. I thought you just sat there, just like.
I know that you get invited to like a three-way, do you?
Just sit there and watching.
You
and like...
you don't get the invitation in the post.
No, not really. But I think have I spoken about it before about how it started? Well, the first three-way I ever had.
Oh, first.
Oh, there were several, but the first three-way I ever had started in the weirdest possible way. I'm sure I've spoken about this. I spoke about it on stage.
Remind me.
What happened was, is we decided that we were going to do it. But we didn't know how to start.
Okay, so...
So the decision was made to do it.
Where? Were you out? And you were like, let's go home and have a three-way?
I'm not going to give details, but the decision was made amongst three consenting adults that we were going to do that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it was difficult, because then after the decision, how do you then... What starts that?
A kiss.
Well, kissing. Does it? Exactly. What is it?
Got to be a kiss.
But there's three of you involved, so who's kissing who?
Well, it depends. Was it two women and you, or was it two guys?
Two women.
Okay.
Yeah, two women.
I feel like you kiss both women.
I kiss both women, so that's two kisses then, isn't it?
Yeah. And
so then, how do you decide which one to kiss first? How do you start?
Oh, do you think? Oh, is that the big decision?
How do you start?
I don't know. I'd say if your girlfriend is a part of
the threesome. Who mentioned any girlfriend?
Okay. No, but I'm saying if that's the scenario, probably start with her.
Right.
If not, you're not going out with either of them, toss a coin.
Well, we didn't do that. What we did was play spin the bottle.
Oh, sexy. Right. Do you know what that is, Toby?
It's a bit before my time, but I am aware of it.
It's a bit before
my timeless. Time. It's timeless. It's timeless.
It's like saying chess is a bit before your time.
I've never played chess either.
So here's what happened, right? I'm at the side of the bed. Two lasses are on the bed. Spun the bottle, right? Landed on me. Right, the first girl spun the bottle, it landed on me.
Mm.
So like, here we go, kiss, 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 kiss. Then the other girl, because the rule was that the person who hadn't been involved in the kiss was the next person to spin the bottle. So the other girl spun the bottle, landed on me. Thank you very much indeed, right? Kiss, 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 kiss. Back to the first girl
right.
who hadn't been involved in that kiss,
yeah.
spun the bottle, landed on me. Check me out, absolute king. This happened about 14, 15 times. Every time landing on me.
Mm.
And I was honestly at that point thinking, this is like, the heavens are doing this. This is like, because they know my sexual prowess is so strong. Until we worked out that the reason it kept landing on me was because I was leaning on the side of the bed.
Yeah, you didn't. Sure, you didn't.
So the bottle just kept pointing down towards me.
Wow.
No, I didn't know that because I really was in the market for them two kissing, really. That's the bit I was looking forward to.
You should have left it the 12th time and said, oh, God, let's boring. Let's mix it up. You two kiss. That's what you should have said.
That's very aggressive.
Well, I feel like you've got to be sexually a little bit in a threesome.
I'm John Leslie.
You? Right.
What? Did you just panicked then because you thought, is that in some way legally wrong?
Because I don't know who that is.
There is. You don't know who John Leslie is?
No, who's John Leslie?
The presenter, BBC Blue Peter presenter.
Oh, Scottish guy.
Yeah. There is a video of John Leslie with Abby Titmus and other girl. Why are you looking like that?
No,
for?
Because
there
I thought
is.
You were going to say, because I know this. There's another. Yeah, tell me about the video that you've seen.
Now who here is making this into an issue?
No, me, because I know something.
No, you don't have to Google anything.
No, I do, because I feel like I've seen a different video of him. Now I...
You can't keep typing in sex video into... You're at work now. There was a sex tape. I don't know how it came out, why it came out, whatever, but I'll tell you that it was public, in the public domain...
Right.
...of John Leslie, Abby Titmus, and another girl, who I don't know who she is. I've got no idea who she is. But in that, I would argue that John Leslie, or the voice that pertains to be John Leslie in that video... is kind of aggressive.
Kiss her.
There's a lot, yeah, kiss her, Abby. Like, it's kind of like that. That's why I was saying I'm not John Leslie.
Well, but...
Because you were saying that I should have said, you two kiss!
Yeah.
Now
you kiss. Spin that bottle.
Yeah, that's not in my nature to do that.
So otherwise, you're just going around all night just kissing and you're still fully closed.
No, we
didn't.
Well, we worked it out and then it was all... And we had a laugh about it and then...
Clothes came off.
Yeah. All the clothes came off, mate. No bother. Did a kiss everywhere then.
Kissing.
Doesn't bear thinking about,
you
mate.
Do spin the bottle for now. We kiss boobs. Spin the bottle, see who kisses whose nipples.
I think I was doing it quite tastefully how I was talking about.
Or
it,
other parts, then, belly buttons.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So I'm going to play your favourite song again.
Oh, this is Aerosmith the girl. He's dead.
All right,
please,
fine.
Please.
And it goes a little something like this.
The way it is. Run DMC, and it was the bloke that
Jason Nevins.
Jason
it?
Nevins, yep. Good call. We've been having a nice show, haven't we?
Good
chat so far.
I've been enjoying it.
You alright, Connor?
Hi, I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
Okay.
So Connor Wallace joins us now.
Yay.
On the phone. Thankfully on the phone.
I said yay, Connor. I didn't seem pleased that you're
back
on.
Oh, thank you, Nat.
Oh, alright. Okay.
How's your week been going, Connor?
Yeah, it's been going good, been busy.
Have you filmed any nosebleed videos yet?
As
agreed.
I've been planning them. I've not
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, we're all planning something, aren't we? But
yeah.
It's the people that actually do that do well, isn't it?
I've also been trying on swim shorts.
Don't recall asking you to do that. Well, for what reason?
To swim in the blood of my nose.
Again, I don't think I took it that far, did I? I didn't say, can you make yourself bleed to the point where you can fill a swimming pool with it?
Then, I thought it made the video more interesting.
So you're going to swim in blood?
Well, I can't promise you that.
Well, if you do end up doing that, can you stipulate within the video that that wasn't one of my requests?
Yeah, so that sounds a bit fetishistic.
Yeah, it does really, doesn't it? It's kind of a weird thing. Yeah. It's like Hostel 2 or 3, whichever one it was.
Yeah.
So what have you been doing since we last chatted? Just trying shorts on, is that it?
Trying some shorts on. I'm babysitting my brother tonight because my mum's away.
Right. How old's your brother?
11.
How old are you?
19. Okay. So as you're 19, Colin, we just had a discussion with Toby that works on the show.
Good point.
Can I ask, as a 19-year-old, what is the oldest age of someone that you'd go out with, that you'd date? Because Toby thought that 30 was too old for him and he's 21.
25, probably.
What?
What is going on?
The fuck is wrong with you people?
Why would you not go out with a 30-year-old?
Well, no, it depends on the person. It does depend on the person. I wouldn't rule out a 30-year-old.
You very definitely said, like, 25 then. You were pretty certain about that when you said it.
25.
What was that?
Oh, is that that's him doing it, not being certain?
Yeah, that's how I meant it to sound like.
What's the absolute oldest person that you would be in a relationship with? So it's not sleep with, it's be in a relationship with.
I don't think I could put a number on it.
Well, you have to. You have to for this conversation.
How old are you?
24. 24, but I think I look around 44, to be honest with you.
I would probably say around 30. But
That's quite insulting to Ian, Connor. You've just asked him how old he looks, and then he's told you.
Then you went dramatically younger.
Yeah, Connor, what's going on?
Well, no.
You were going to say, how old are you? And then you were going to be like, well, that's how old I would go to.
I thought there was some flirting going to happen there.
I mean, I don't want him to flirt with me, but that would have been all right. That would have been in the manner of, you know, of the show and stuff. But he said, how old are you? And then I sort of hinted how old I actually was. I sort of dropped a little subtle hint. And then he went, well, fuck it, 14 years younger than that.
What Connor's just done there is when you get your hair done and someone says to you, oh, have you had your hair done? And you go, yeah, and then they don't follow up with anything.
And then they go,
it's an insult.
Or they say something like, well, I wouldn't have my hair done like that myself. would you not go out with somebody my age?
Yeah, there's no reason why I wouldn't.
Oh, you would now?
Yeah, I'm sure I would. I don't like putting a number on it, you see.
But you have done twice.
Because you made me.
Yeah, but why did you ask how old I was?
Well, I didn't think you were going to actually tell me, so that's why I said.
I think he's being, again, I'm so sorry to use the word, but...
No.
I think Connor is being an utter cunt at the moment. Right, really, really upsetting your behaviour.
Well, you called me one of that word earlier as well, so we're in good.
I called you a cunt.
You did, yeah.
What did I say?
On when the two guys were in, about talking about the show.
I just said what everyone was
thinking.
And
you were right.
Why are you being like this, Connor? It used to be such a nice lad, and now you're being just like. Again, there's no other word for it. You're being a cunt, Connor.
Connor, do you not want to rebuke this? Like, someone's. You could say something here to defend yourself, or say why you're not being a bleep aunt, but.
Cunt, she means.
Well, I don't. I'm not trying to be one of those, but I don't want to talk too much in case I get.
But you can see why people would think you're a cunt at the moment.
Oh my God, no, Connor! Please defend yourself here.
I understand that I abused my position on the show.
Like a cunt.
Where is that? Oh God.
Like that.
Like what?
What the thing you said?
Say it.
I can't say it.
Why can't you say it? Is your brother there?
I don't swear.
Fuck off, you don't swear. You do swear.
I don't swear or drink.
All right. So you admit you are being one of those things?
Yeah. I understand why you would think I was.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's a start, isn't it?
Don't you ever feel after a conversation with Connor? I just feel like he needs a hug.
He's doing this on purpose and you are falling for it
also,
now.
Also, he wants to go to the hearing where he went, the first guest is waiting. He wants to get off the phone.
Don't worry about the first guess. The first guess is as appalled as we are at your behaviour. I was going to let you sing another line of a song.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck me.
Well,
what was that?
I feel like Connor doesn't want to do this anymore.
Stroppy little cunt is what you're being.
God.
You really are being beyond the pale here, Connor.
No, wow. I was like, oh, yeah.
No, you didn't. You went, oh, yeah. Well, were you? Were you going to let me, were you? Well, I'll decide whether I'm going to do it or not, will I?
No, it would be my pleasure if you'd let me.
I need you to rap. You got to rap.
Right. I don't know many rap.
We're going to teach you one then. We're going to sing.
Can you do Baby Got Back? So we had a lovely guest on Abiola a few weeks ago. Did you hear that, Connor, when she was amazing doing the rap?
She was very good. And also the boy the other week was good as well. He sang
Sam.
Forget You. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
We're going to do It's Tricky by Run DMC.
Oh, yes, I can do that, I think.
You can do it, can you?
Yes. Yeah, I can.
I'll sing along with it then. I'll put it on. You ready?
Okay.
Here we go. It's already started.
I can't hear it.
My recital.
My recital. Just rock a rhyme that's right on time. It's tricky is the title. Here we go. It's tricky to rock a rhyme. To rock a rhyme that's right on time. It's tricky. Tricky.
Wah! Not wah.
Was that Tina Turner rapping?
Not wah, Connor. There's no wah in it, is there?
I just come. It just comes out.
You just came?
You just come, Connor.
It's awesome.
God, who knew that Run DMC was...
To think he's been a fan since he was a child. Not even essentially a child, was a child.
Right.
Yeah, almost 10 years.
Now he's turned into this. Since you were 9, isn't it?
Mm. Probably.
Been a fan since you were 9.
Probably, I think 11.
Wow.
11 and now turned into this monster. And I do feel partly responsible. This is when people say about, video games are bad for people and all that, and should they be exposed to, swear words or adult comedy or anything like that, or pornography, anything. And that's the thing. I feel that the exposure you've had to the material that I provided into the public has made you into the objectionable cunt that you are at the moment. That's what I think has happened. So I take some responsibility, Connor.
It's not your fault.
This is my fault. I take some responsibility. And what I'll say is to people that would then be critical of me when you go on to do whatever you're going to do, like when they blame Child's Play or whatever on things, I am at least trying, in my defence now, if this is ever given as evidence in a court or whatever, I at least tried to rectify the damage I had done.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't just abandon you and go, no, it's not my problem. I'm acknowledging that I have influenced you in a negative way, and I am trying, God knows I'm trying, to make you into the boy that I know that you can be and probably actually are at your core. But you seem to be consistently rebutting this. You're right.
Sorry, I just had to stifle a yawn, but not because it was boring, just I had this overwhelming...
Right, Connor, get off the phone. Now get out of the studio.
Sorry.
I'll interview the guest.
Okay.
I am. This is beyond my capabilities as a human being to deal with it. This level of fucking disrespect from every direction.
I'm sorry.
The producer's disrespectful.
No, I didn't mean to be.
I've got Toby fucking saying that he'd only have sex with a 9-year-old, whatever he said.
No, he didn't.
I've got, whatever it was he said.
I've got Connor
fucking cunting me off,
right
and centre.
Oh my God.
And I'm in the middle of this, trying to hold this shit, this shambles together. So all of you, book your fucking ideas up. Connor, go and do something productive and come back a nice boy, please.
Hosebleed.
Okay, I will.
Right, get gone, bye. That's Connor gone. Right, Nat, fucking go and get a coffee.
All right,
go
and
yourself up.
Okay, paint myself up.
Perk yourself up.
Oh, right, okay.
And we'll listen to Run DMC.
Yeah.
And do you know what? No one's going to talk again until I'm happy that everyone involved in this production is actually here.
Okay.
This beat is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock around. That's right.
On top.
It's tricky. Here we go. It's tricky to rock around. To rock around. That's right. On time. It's tricky.
That was Run DMC with It's Tricky. That was the proper version, not the version that Connor ruined earlier on. And we're joined now in the studio by Ian Brown, creator of adult cartoon series The Brubs. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks
you brought us all gifts and that.
Well, I like to
Sorry, my bad. My bad. I didn't have your mic up. That's my fault. Go on, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Good. And the gifts that you brought?
Are T-shirts.
Yes.
For everyone, I think, hopefully.
Everyone in the world?
Everybody.
As long as they fit them, basically.
What size
are they? It's extra
large. Well, they're whatever size you want them to be.
Oh, right.
Right.
So, there's a selection.
Extra large?
We have a lot of extra large.
Okay, XLs we can
do. You know what? I ordered, as you do, I thought these cartoons would appeal to the extra large person in a way, which is not anti-extra large.
No, I hear you.
Among our American fans, they've all complained that we don't do triple extra large and quadruple extra large.
Right.
But in the UK and nearer to home elsewhere, they've all made the mediums, bizarrely, have... we're talking fashion now, aren't we, basically?
Yeah, that's good.
The mediums have gone like hotcakes. It's amazing. Just amazing.
I would have thought that XL would have been the main seller.
You would have thought, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But thus far, medium. It's bizarre.
So,
Is this the only merch you have for the Brubs?
We have mugs as well.
Mugs as well, yeah.
But I didn't bring any because I thought
I'd rather
t-shirts
have had a mug.
I like a mug. I do like mugs
Do you know what? When you have me back,
yeah.
When I have total world domination in the animation world with the Brubs, mugs will be there.
Okay. Is that a name?
Well, it is. That's hence I'm here to promote the what's it out of it all. It's,
do you know what? Before you came in, Nat flew around the side of the desk just now. Why that was on? I went, look who he's worked with.
I know, right?
I literally thrust your bio in front of me. Mm. I went, look, read all them names.
This is impressive.
He's played tennis with Charlton Heston.
Yeah, what?
I have. Yeah.
Isn't he dead?
He is now. Yeah, he wasn't at the time.
Was he alive then?
He was very much alive.
Because you're going to start boasting that you beat him. And it's like, it was easy. Just kept knocking it over. He just fucking lay there.
He slaughtered me. I am not good at tennis.
Well, he was NRA, wasn't he? So I'm not surprised.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that difficult?
Do you find that difficult?
Well, I did. The thing is that I totally understand all that and the Louis Theroux documentary and all that sort of business that caught him out. But at the time, he was early stages of Alzheimer's, so he was properly caught out. And I think since Louis Theroux has kind of regretted what he did there with doorstepping him, if you remember
that.
I don't remember that with Charlton Heston, do you, Louis Theroux?
But he was NRA before that, though, wasn't he?
Yeah,
out of my cold, dead hand.
That's what he said, didn't he?
I mean,
that was him.
That was his belief. But then, if you just look at him as a movie star, you know, he was Ben-Hur, he was El Cid, he was Moses, he was God.
You but know, isn't that, it's not what we're here to talk about, but isn't that an interesting thing, how things like that can slant how you look at someone? Like I have a bit of it going on with Tom Cruise, really, over Scientology. Yeah. You know, I have a little bit... I think Cruise is a fucking exceptional actor.
Yeah, great actor.
Ditto Mel Gibson. Fucking exceptional sort of performer. I won't even say actor. Performer, certainly. A movie star. But then all the sort of personal beliefs start coming in. You're like, I don't even feel comfortable watching them
anymore. No, meaning like Woody Allen. I was a massive fan of Woody Allen, Annie Hall. But obviously now I feel
What's
like...
What's Woody Allen done?
What he's been accused of doing. It's quite all over the press. But a lot of people refusing to work with him now. High profile
actors. Michael Caine was the last one the other week. Nothing at all has been proven about him.
But... when an accusation has happened against somebody or anyone that you really like, and there's lots of it happening at the moment, then it becomes like, how do I feel about watching something they've done?
That's a good question for Ian. Would you play tennis with Woody Allen? how would you feel about that?
Well, you can just say
yes or no. You don't have to quantify it in any way.
I probably would. I think I'd quite like to meet him.
I think he'd be not that good at tennis, really.
He's a great filmmaker. I totally understand all the baggage that comes with all these accusations and such. And I'm not defending... or going against all the accusations, you know, in any way. Obviously, we know all the names involved and whatever. But a lot of it is currently, as you quite rightly legally carefully say, is accusations.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a great shame that sort of what you would call heroes and people you have looked up to for ages, all of a sudden they're persona non grata and it's all very, very...
I think it's an interesting place that we've arrived at now, which is it's horrible in many ways. But I think it's an interesting place where the sort of the concept of a hero nowadays is completely diminished. In that you can't really have a hero anymore because you literally don't know. And it's humanized people that are generally viewed as superhuman.
Mm.
However, the interesting thing I think is going on is that the fucking demons and the villains of the world are fucking Teflon at the moment. Like, they're untouchable.
Right.
The people that are genuine... I'm not saying that people... accusations aren't genuine, but we don't know either way in certain situations, or there's likely in certain situations, whatever. But the ones that are fucking cast iron, fucking demons and devils and fucking proper villains... are getting away with literally murder.
Right, whereas the accusations at the moment, if someone is accused without being proven guilty
they've been recast, their careers have been destroyed.
Yeah, and like someone that was recast in a BBC drama that had to be pulled over Christmas because there was an allegation against the actor. I don't know if it's true or not, but it was made, and so they couldn't show the drama. They've had to recast it now. And then obviously Kevin Spacey with Christopher Plummer replacing him in the film.
Yeah, but for example... Putin.
Right, he's doing all right.
Or, for example, Trump. They're fucking untouchable. Well, what's going on?
I don't know.
Well, probably the more they do, the more they get away with. That's often a phrase that rings true.
Isn't that an awful thing that's going out into the world? I mean, it isn't helping you promote your thing. But
no.
I feel like we're all depressed now.
Anyway, we started with Sean Heston, didn't we? Yeah, we started. Yeah,
well, that's your fault.
He's not the only person I've worked with.
But Sean, it's your fault for playing tennis.
Well, you picked him out, you know.
And also Bill Clinton.
Well, yeah, on
he killed people. He probably killed people, didn't he?
No, he's not killed anyone.
He would have ordered death.
No. Well, in a war capacity.
Okay, well, still a definite.
Yeah, true. And George Bush Sr., we've worked with. Ronald Reagan.
He would have killed people. Reagan killed people. As Nat says, in a war capacity.
Tony Blair. John Major.
He'd kill people. Yeah. He'd kill people.
Yeah. Pierce Brosnan.
Why are you sort of hanging about with murderers so much?
Well, at the time, they weren't accused of any of that.
Hold on. Lady Thatcher. She's on it.
She's responsible for fucking thousands of deaths.
Absolutely. I was writing
Sangla Belgrano, of course. Why are you mixing with these people?
I was writing more cheerful things for them.
What were you writing for them?
Well, principally, it was a show which no one will remember now, but it's called This Is Your Life.
Michael Aspel,
Michael Aspel, the Big Red Book tribute show. And so these were either the subject of the show or they were guests on the show for other famous people.
Putting
words in their mouths. You know,
so was this when it was Aspel or was this before when it was Eamon Andrews?
I joined the show on Michael Aspel's second series.
Right, okay.
So he's not long been in the job.
Is This Is Your Life gone now? Is that finished?
It went a while ago.
I could be very anal and boring about the history of it.
I'd find it interesting.
Would you write? Started as a radio show in America as part of another bigger show to welcome home troops who were disfigured in the war.
Is that what it was?
And it was to, hey guys, welcome these guys home. Distance them, make them welcome. This is their story, that sort of thing. And then the guy who created
put it on the radio.
Guy who created it. Well, there was only radio then.
Come on, go listen to the guy. Make sure you put it on the radio.
The guy who created it was Ralph Edwards, American guy. He brought it over here. It became a TV show over there, and they did amazing people like Laurel and Hardy at the end of their days and huge stars. Then he brought it over to the UK.
The Laurel and Hardy, This Is Your Life, I find slightly uncomfortable.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
It's not easy viewing.
What? Yeah, can you say why? Because I don't.
It's just kind of
I'm not sure they wanted to be there.
Kind of awkward.
No one told them they were doing it.
But that was in the days when it was absolutely live.
Right. Remember?
So there was no sort of time between the This Is Your Life being said and the transition to now he's your first guest. It was like people were perplexed.
The point of This Is Your Life was that they didn't know.
Yeah,
it was a surprise.
It was supposed to be a nice surprise for them. I wondered if anyone had ever come out and they were like, oh, I hated that person.
Well, yeah, there's plenty of footage from This Is Your Life where, famously now, there's a Gary Glitter bit where he silences someone who's talking. He puts his finger up to say quiet.
What's wrong with...
Well, it was something that they were saying about his...
Oh, I see, to
relationship
Michael Aspel.
With groupies and stuff.
Oh, God, okay, right.
He goes shush like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm. I'm honestly not focusing on the negatives.
I didn't write that one.
Okay.
But I remember it. I was a young researcher at the time. Didn't precisely work on that show, but I do remember what exact incident you're talking about.
So where were we up to? I interrupt you, I apologise. So where were we? Laurel and Hardy, I do find uncomfortable.
Was made in America.
Yep.
Ralph Edwards, who created it, came to the UK and they were going to do someone, but they couldn't. And the tables were switched. And they did This Is Your Life, Eamon Andrews, who then became the host, original host of the show.
Yep.
It was done by the BBC. They did it for about, 6 years or so on the BBC. And then the BBC said, well, that's it. We've done everybody now. And in amongst that group, they'd done Richard Attenborough, Agatha Christie, people like that. And then jump forward to 1969, and ITV... revived the show, Thames Television as well, as revived the show. First show in colour was Des O'Connor, This Is Your Life, who I went on to work with on various game shows.
Lovely, lovely man.
Great Des, yeah.
Yeah, indeed. Big fan of Des.
Oh, that's nice.
Big fan of Des, yeah.
I worked on Take Your Pick, the game show. Can't say yes, can't say no.
Yeah.
Gone, all that stuff, with him for many years. So it stayed on ITV for yonks. And then Thames lost the franchise for London, if you remember your TV history, and it then switched to the BBC, had a long run on there, then it ended on the BBC. Last show ever to be recorded was Simon Cowell, This Is Your Life. Then it switched again to ITV. Trevor McDonald hosted it once and once only.
Did he?
I don't remember
ITV,
that.
Yeah.
Was that Pearson doing that then?
No, it was ITV then.
Oh, it was ITV.
They'd all been conglomerated into ITV.
Who was it with Trevor that did he do?
It was Simon Cowell.
Again?
You got twice?
Well, yeah, I was called into a meeting to say, we've got someone lined up. It's a big person in the music. It's not actually an artist, but it's a big talent in the music industry. And I was thinking, it couldn't be Simon Cowell. He was the last one we did. Famously, that's all over the interweb. Because it was the night Michael announced he was stepping down from the show, and that ended the show and such like.
Oh, what a cow do? Why did he quit?
Then
after that, I don't know.
Book Cowell as a guest again. Watch how quick I quit.
And but it was Simon Cowell.
Yeah, yeah.
And Trevor hosted it, and it did very well in the ratings. It's a huge show, and actually, although it was only a short number of years between the two, of course Simon Cowell had become this meteoric superstar worldwide.
I see, okay. Yeah,
so immediately
yeah.
the lineup, apart from his mum and immediate family and people from his younger days, was completely different. It was like stratospheric superstars, imagine, you know, he was now mates with, including the Donald. Filmed the Donald in New York for it because they had an ongoing battle with The Apprentice, the American Apprentice show, and American Idol.
Okay.
And the ratings and that sort of thing. So it was like a humorous I'm better than you piece from the Donald as well.
I don't see any humour there.
Who do you like better out of Cowell and Trump? Ian?
Cowell?
He's Cowell.
Yeah.
Cowell over Trump.
Yeah.
Well,
it's hard to work out Simon Cowell, isn't it? You know, you see him all the time on TV and such like, but he's been interviewed a lot and that, but you... And I've written his This Is Your Life twice.
Yeah, yeah.
And you still don't really know the guy.
Yeah, but did you have to leave stuff out of his This Is Your Life?
Not that I was aware of.
Was Max Clifford involved in any
way? We probably weren't told it. He was on both shows.
Yeah, I dare say. Yeah.
And,
that can't be repeated
the
then.
And probably not.
There's probably no This Is Your Life that can be repeated now.
There's quite a few.
There'll be someone sat somewhere and like, oh God, look, Savile's over there. Like, oh, fuck. I found that incredibly interesting. I thought it was a great program, This Is Your Life. And I'll tell you what I found about it. I promise we will speak about the programs. I promise we will. What I found intriguing about This Is Your Life is I completely bought the reverie that it was held in. So I completely bought that these people who were on This Is Your Life genuinely considered it, many of them, the highest honour of their career. Above and beyond Royal Varieties or anything. Literally, that was the highest honour, was to be the subjects of This Is Your Life.
Well, jump forward umpty years to now,
and
every now and then in a Sunday supplement magazine or whatever, you will see a profile of an older artiste, as it may be. And they sort of say, you know, my 10 favourite things or something in their den or something.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, if they've been done by
the book, could be there.
The book is there, they prize it, absolutely prize it.
Yeah, I remember reading like Les Dawson talking about This Is Your Life and quite how, because he was done twice, Les Dawson on This Is Your Life.
Quite a few were done twice, but yeah, he was. Yeah.
Again, with big differences between, but I totally bought that. I bought that he genuinely considered it to be a huge honour.
Right.
There was nothing like it at the time.
Yeah. You know,
and also remember that there was no social media, so there was no Instagram, there was no that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was no Hello magazine or OK magazine, so there was no Come and See My House.
This was genuinely where you got the story.
Genuinely, it was an element of Through the Keyhole.
Yeah.
It was an element of OK magazine or Hello magazine, a big profile. It was... Crikey, that's what their mum or dad looks like,
that's what their
brother looks like, you know, da, 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 da. It was a real insight into this person, albeit with a very, very showbizy twist. But also remember, we didn't only do showbiz people, you know, you would always, generally speaking, you know, in the latter part of the life of This Is Your Life, you would always do someone from Emmerdale, someone from Casualty, Holby, Coronation Street, EastEnders, per series. It used to have an epic run. This is why it kind of died off. It was an American show, American format, still owned in America, licensed over here, and it was 26 shows every series
year,
which was a lot of people to find.
Just unsustainable,
almost unsustainable,
yeah.
Because all of a sudden you were having to do people again, you know, because there was no one else. So you do those people, but within that mix, you would also do lifeboatman, ambulanceman, fireman, you know, a road sweeper who got out of CBE or something.
And then became a thing, when that it was sort of revamped as like, well, it's going to be. As well as celebrities, it will be quote unquote normal people, you know, public people. I think it didn't. The ratings kind of fell off when it was like that.
They
as
always
well,
did.
Didn't they? Yeah.
Very, very sadly,
people
tuned in for the surprise bit, which was always people's favourite bit.
Yeah.
And it was like, who's it going to be this week? Oh, no,
I don't know who that is. yeah.
But in its absolute heyday, on Thames Television, it was a bigger show than Coronation Street.
Yeah.
It used to get much bigger ratings than Coronation Street. It was used to be on 7 to 7:30. It would lead into Coronation Street, and it would always feed ratings to Coronation Street. That was the power of the show.
How exciting to have been part of something like that. So, do you mind asking how old you are?
You may.
You're not going to tell me.
I am. I'm 53. I will be 54 in a bit.
In a bit.
Well, right. A few weeks.
Okay. Do you ever find, like, if you walk down the street and nobody knows who you are, that you want to just shout and go, have you any idea what my life has been? Are you any idea what I was involved in? Do you know, this is your life. That was pretty much me. Do you know what
I mean? Well, it was a team. I would say it was a team. Yeah, but I did get to write for these people. And meet them and all that sort of business. It was great. I say it under my breath a lot, and my immediate family say, don't be ridiculous, shut up. You know, it's like, what do you mean?
That's sick of the story.
I sort of say, you know, when I sort of, things go wrong, you know, like whatever, delivery of something, or that happens to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I do, bizarrely, very jokingly, I have to say.
Yeah.
Don't these people know who I am? Which you can imagine a genuinely famous person saying a lot, and of course they're all now shredded for it, because obviously as soon as people do that in shops or at airport check-ins, they're immediately filmed on a phone now.
Of course,
Oh, look at so and so having a tantrum and all that sort of business, and that never existed when I started out.
Okay,
it doesn't cross my mind a lot, that.
I'll tell you what it feels like. This, and I felt it similarly with, I interviewed Ronnie LeDrew, who's a puppeteer. Okay, so he did Zippy for a bit, and he did, I think he does Zippy now. He's in charge of Zippy now. He did some stuff with Sooty and Sweep, and he was in Labyrinth, and he was in Dark Crystal. He did some stuff on Little Shop of Horrors. He worked some of the puppets on that. But you wouldn't know Ronnie. You know, just see Ronnie in the street, you wouldn't know. And I always find it kind of like, God, this cat's got so many fucking stories. He's, you know, do you know what I mean? He's like, he's got so much. He's so immersed in the world of things that everyone would know, but you just don't know. I find that generally with puppeteers, I know a few puppeteers, and I find that generally with puppeteers, that it's a hidden thing. You're a secret, I think I perhaps relate to that because I did a lot of years as a warm up person. You know, as I did warm up on TV shows.
Yeah.
So understand the feeling of being a secret.
Yeah, well, there's a lot. You know, I mean, we talk about warm-ups. You know, the name possibly Ted Robbins.
Yeah,
and people like that. Always in the for Des. Des always loved having Ted.
And
there's a few others. You know, Jeff Stevenson.
Who
we always wanted at the top of his list to warm up the audience before he would come on. And do a game show or his chat show or whatever. And these guys would rip it up with the audience.
Yeah.
You know, great material, great gags.
Not even on the credits.
Good sing song. Who knew them?
The warm-up isn't, is it? Oh, they're not on the credits. No.
I was on the credits for Russell Howell's Good News.
Oh, okay.
And I've been in programmes. So I was in Not Going Out. I was in Russell's show. I was in Red Dwarf and things like that. But you don't get credited as the warm-up, which is crazy.
Mm.
It is crazy. Well, you're such an integral part of the evening.
I mean, I have to say, well, now, almost anyone gets credited, don't they? The credits go on forever.
Still not the warm-up.
But no one ever sees them because they get pushed back. For
of course, yeah, they're
coming
in a corner.
Next, on all our other channels.
Totally. So what led to the Brubs then? So how did you end up doing that?
Well, I love animation. I've always loved watching animation.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was very lucky, again, going back to This Is Your Life, and indeed Simon Cowell, if I may, for his second This Is Your Life. By then, he had appeared twice on The Simpsons.
Okay.
So let's try and get something out of The Simpsons. So we had a conversation with Al Jean, the showrunner over there, and he said, well, I'll write something and we'll see. And so I wrote something for Homer Simpson.
Okay.
And amazingly, they liked it and they animated it as a message to Simon Cowell.
I'd have it tattooed on my face.
If
you wrote for Homer?
I wrote for Homer.
Well, I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud of it. And they did it absolutely word for word, which was even more amazing. And it was very funny, I hope. And he liked it. And so that sort of, I'd had this little idea of these funny characters, and I couldn't really sell it anywhere. You know, I had very lucky to have contacts, commissioners and various departments and production companies and whatever. But, you know, jump back about 6 years or so, I always bleat on about this, unfortunately, and, you know, on blogs and things and whatever about the Bravs, but it's an expensive process. And it's a very time-consuming process. Yeah, yeah. You know, you look at the credits for The Simpsons or something, or Family Guy. They go up, I talk about them, you're not getting your Walmart man credit, but there are about a million credits.
Of course,
whatever. Now, we're not that. We are five people making the Bravs. Mm-hmm. Two of those do the music and the songs. I write them, although that then becomes an organic, using a Ponzi word, process. Once we start to record the voices, I do the voices, and there is Owen Clark, an amazing animator who designed the characters based on my brief and talking about them and such like. And that happened about 5 years ago. He designed them for me, and as I said, I touted it around a bit in a part-time basis while doing other day jobs. You asked my age a while ago, and I reached 50.
Yeah,
and I thought, I want to make these bloody things.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I put a little bit of my own money into it, and we made a couple. And they didn't go huge, didn't go viral on YouTube, but people got great feedback.
Okay.
And that is the great thing with being, as you probably get it here with FUBAR, being on the internet.
Yeah.
You get it's like being, again, like warm-up. It's like you get that immediate response.
Sense
of
gratification.
You know, people come back with, really love these, or this is shit, they say. But
What, to us?
Yeah, yeah.
No, they just tell us why they can't be listening and they'll listen later.
That's
people
true.
Do that a lot when
we've
they tell us. Sorry,
up. Yeah. Catch up.
Yeah.
Okay. And then do they, do you think?
Oh, no, they do.
But the show, the live show is on midday. Well, it's 2 o'clock, so it's on. So people are at work. That's in their defence.
Mm.
Yeah. And of course, they can't have it on because there's lots of swearing and things.
Sometimes you do swears,
Sometimes you've been.
I've been swearing
a lot in the last two shows.
If you're sitting at a desk, you know, you don't want all that.
Yeah, you've been saying the rude word.
Generally speaking, I don't particularly swear that much on this show.
No, but.
But the last two shows I've been.
Have you been?
Have you been angry?
The problem with it is, and forgive me for saying this, the problem with it is one of our regular listeners and someone who's been a fan of mine for many, many years has just suddenly started acting like a cunt.
That's
what's been going on.
I've never heard that word. It's almost like you've
said
4 years. You don't think you've used that word, or maybe once or twice,
but now
in two shows, it's so many.
Yeah. But he's acting like
a
cunt.
Oh dear.
So,
does he know who he is?
Oh, he knows.
Oh, he's told him. He told him about five times 10 minutes ago, didn't he?
Essentially to his face.
And he didn't disagree.
I'm no expert.
Yeah.
At all. I'm not medically trained in any way whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah.
You can probably tell that. But you might be feeding him in this way.
Oh.
Do you think?
Might be. I don't know. As I say, I'm no expert. But
what do you mean?
I just think he's just turned into it. I just think he was a nice lad, and then he's just.
He used to come on the show a lot and do some singing over the phone.
Which was fucking awful.
You know, I was in the loosest term singing. It was,
but
you know,
I supported
but
him. You we know, let by him proxy.
Yeah, and then suddenly
but
he kept.
He's a fucking dreadful singer.
What he makes some weird noises when he sings, but. He kept being too busy to go, I can't come on anymore,
can't do it.
And we were like, well, you know, then we can't have you on anymore.
Right.
Then
I was talking to him before and I went, I was going to let you sing a line from a song. And he went, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't really.
Little
he sent a letter earlier, which didn't really put much heart into it. I was like, I'm so sorry. A passport photo. No present in there, no nothing.
Weird kid.
Just like, please let me back up. He wasn't even like that. And then he was like, oh, whatever.
19. Didn't make despairing for the youth of today.
Basically, I put some money in it.
Yeah,
made
a
couple. They have proved popular.
Yeah.
And we just decided to go for it. So then, therefore, I had to introduce myself to the wacky world of social media.
Okay, right.
So we opened a Facebook page and Twitter at the Bravs TV, and now on Instagram.
Yeah.
And we're trying to build ourselves there on YouTube. And last year, very luckily, UK TV came knocking and said, would you like to sell a few to us for very little money?
They haven't got much.
For very late nights.
Spend it on Red Dwarf, mate.
I know, they do.
And even Red Dwarf's not on that much, apparently. So,
They do about three, don't they, or something.
Yeah.
And late nights on Dave, we're on every now and then, and we're on their catch-up with their first animation on Dave and their first animation on their catch-up UK TV Play.
Yeah, yeah.
Meanwhile, all our new episodes go first to our YouTube channel, The Bravs TV, and it's just growing and growing, slowly but steadily, and very internationally. We've got a huge, amazingly, following in America growing, because I think they really take to animation
out
there, and adult animation particularly. It's a sort of, although there's an appetite for it here, you know, obviously Brits liked The Simpsons and like Family Guy on ITV2 and such like. It's a slower process to sort of accept it, I think.
It's also a hard thing to nail as well, animation, isn't it? It really is. It's so easy to get it wrong.
It is. I hope we've got it right. We have great hopes for it. You know,
what are your hopes for it?
Well, to grow it. You know, we want to develop these characters. We want to bring other characters into it.
Yeah.
We want to make longer and longer episodes as we can, and basically make it a successful, sort of more and more an animated sitcom, which there has never been in this country. A Brit animated sitcom like The Simpsons, Family Guy hasn't happened. There's been a few attempts, but it hasn't really happened. You know, but hopefully we've got the right characters, the right bit of depth to what can happen with them.
Yeah.
And people, you know, have to say the huge amount of response we get is positive, and so that's why we keep at it. You know, obviously it would all been negative, it would have been knocked on the head. But
I think I'd still crack on if I believed in it.
Yeah, well, I do believe in it.
Yeah, and that's quite clear that you
do. I spend my almost every waking hour promoting it.
Yeah.
You know, whether you take to social media, I mean, it's the new thing, isn't it? I find social media actually knackering.
But it goes a long way, though.
As you say, one fan, if you don't immediately respond...
Did you just say I've only got one fan?
I think he did say you have just got one fan.
Well, now he's
Connor, isn't it?
Connor,
no.
Do you know what? I think he's still a fan.
You've driven him away.
No, no, it's like a wedge. No, if anything, I've brought him.
You like him more.
Send him a t-shirt.
He doesn't deserve one, does he?
I hear you.
And sign it.
Well, me sign it.
That's given to Connor again. What's Connor sending over this way? Nothing. It feels like you're...
You don't even know his address.
It was weird.
You might win him around.
What Connor likes is, if anything, you being nice to him would disarm him, because he likes the kind of... He likes you calling him the C thing.
He likes it.
Well, doesn't he? He's all like, oh,
feeding the beast.
So what should I do in that situation?
As I say, I'm not at all medically trained.
Kill him with kindness.
That would shock him.
That could be a way.
That would shock him.
Maybe a t-shirt might help. I don't know.
Send him a t-shirt. Yeah, I'm happy to send him a t-shirt.
Bit of merch. There you go. So yeah, no, I do intend to carry on with it.
Yeah.
And it's a fascinating thing, because, as I say, 3 years ago, I wasn't on Facebook.
Right.
But to see the wacky world of Facebook and such like, and we've had bizarre response as well. You know, we've had great comments back via the world of Twitter, from people like Linda Robson of Birds of a Feather, loves us. Melanie Sykes loves us. Simon Gregson, who is Steve McDonald in Coronation Street, just from nowhere. Liked us and has been a great supporter.
Yeah.
Not financially, sadly, but...
Do you accept financial support, though?
I accept anything. Right. Any support whatsoever.
But is it crowdfunded as a thing, or is it...
It isn't. No, we've looked at that.
Yeah.
But actually, I don't think we could satisfy that, because, as I say, Owen, for example, has just had to break away again. He's been working on a big animation movie.
Okay.
That he gets paid for, paid for, and I can't, you know, I can't say to him, and we've agreed, you know, don't take paid work, as it were. It sounds ridiculous to have this differential, and it sounds very pompous and grand to say that the Bruvs is a part-time thing. It isn't that. We're absolutely serious about it, and we're trying to make it as big as we can. But it doesn't pay us anything. Although people say, oh, you can make loads of money out of YouTube and all that. You know, and I have worked with Joe Sugg and Casper Lee.
They are the
big YouTube stars, superstars. And I know they make an awful lot of money.
Mm.
And they enjoy that money. And
that's not entrance level, though, is it?
They're properly...
But they've been doing it for a fair few years. At the point now where they're making a lot of money.
They are making...
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We could... just sit here and be jealous, but you know, and they're only 20 something, but I'm not jealous at all. You know,
they sound like idiots.
You don't know anything about them, just said their names. What? I think they're both
think they're both called Johnny YouTube, is what I think.
They're great,
Joe and Casper, nice boys, aren't they?
They are nice boys. I did two road trips with them, because that's another part of my life, is road trips and cars and Jeremy Clarkson and such.
Right, okay,
yeah, you worked with them a lot, haven't you? Clarkson, 20,
nearly 20 years with Mr. Clarkson.
To get on with Clarkson.
I have done. Yeah, no, I do. 20 years. No, I do, totally. 20 years. Wow. You wouldn't have lasted 20 years if you didn't.
Do you know what? I got offered the warm-up on Top Gear the other day, and I turned it down. And I actually turned it down And I actually said to my missus, I'm not working with them pricks. And I'd completely forgotten that they weren't in anymore.
It's Matt LeBlanc
it's Matt
now.
LeBlanc.
I still don't want to. Yeah. I don't want to do any warm up.
I know those people who make Top Gear. I know the people who make the Grand Tour. They're all right, actually. I mean, and the two shows kind of rub along now
in parallel universes
that don't really.
I just don't want to do warm up anymore. I just don't want to do any of it. I'll do Red Dwarf again when Red Dwarf comes back, but that's all I'm doing now.
Right. Get you.
Yeah. No, fuck them. no, that's what I've decided. I've decided, honestly, that I don't. I said to you earlier on, didn't I, that I don't want to do any work in somebody else's thing anymore. I no longer want to be in somebody else's thing anymore. And I don't ever want to help. Not help. I don't want to be helping, that is the right word, somebody else's thing, particularly not anonymously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I see that.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, which is why, I have to say, I find the Bruv so genuine, not financially, but genuinely rewarding.
Because it's your thing.
Because it's not about ratings, and it's not about, I don't know, you know, some executive coming and going, that was a nice show, or that was a crap show, or whatever. It's about, I mean, they are, as you say, sort of civilians, real people, are responding. You know, they're leaving comments under the films on YouTube. They're responding on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Mm. And it is it's real, genuine feedback to stuff what I have done. And, and that is, as I totally see what you're saying. It's very rewarding
to
get that. And I have to say, I've never actually had that, because I've never done live, you know, like you, stand-up or theatre stuff or whatever. Not since school, as it were. But it is just amazing to get people going, that's really funny, or that's bloody amazing, or whatever. You know, you get the downside as well. There's a bit of negative stuff.
But as long as it's containable, as long as you sort of see it for what it is and that. But you can certainly get a sense of something. When something's successful, you can certainly get... It's undeniable. You're not just reading it wrong. When that happens, something you create and put out there, and the feedback you get back, you're not misreading it. So you're like, no, this definitely is successful. You know, you know, you can feel it, certainly.
I mean, unfortunately, however, that said, in this brave new world of the internet, everything is ultimately judged by others on numbers.
Yeah.
You know, numbers of followers, numbers of views, numbers of subscribers, etc., numbers of likes. I
hear what you're saying. I disagree. I honestly disagree.
Sort of people with money and executives and things like that.
Everything's comparative. But fuck them. That's why you don't need them. You can, if you build something up and it becomes a success, people will then come in for it when you don't need them.
Yeah, I get that.
Do you know what I mean? Okay. They'll only come for it when you don't need them. So no one will be there when you're like, right, I want to build this, but like, oh no, we're not touching that. And then when you build it yourself, and when you make it, and it's like, right, now it's got a sustainable audience, now it's got this, and this, they'll go, oh yeah, we'll have that. It's like, well, you go fuck yourselves. That's my feeling, honestly.
Well, yeah, well, that's where we're at the moment.
Yeah.
And that it is building, luckily. And we've had very little help, actually.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
It's bizarre, you know, but as I say, I did tout it round. I did tout the Bruvs around a lot.
I remember that.
And everyone...
remember that when they come back. Yeah, genuinely.
It's all, we love it, but, oh, it's expensive, isn't it? And it's So we've done it on less than a shoestring.
Yeah.
And, luckily, people like it, you know, that is the rewarding bit at the moment.
Yeah.
But I think you do... It needs to grow a bit more. You know, not necessarily go viral, it does need to grow a bit more. Hence, events like this. Wonderful events like this.
Well, I genuinely wish you all the best with it. And it's like... I always get like this, because these are my feelings on these things.
Yeah.
I just want to go, don't sell it when it's time to sell it. Keep it when it's time to fucking sell it. And then work out how to get the cash direct to you. There's a way of doing it. There certainly is. We can be broadcasters as well as the talent. You know what I mean? We can.
Oh, well, I see that. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's my feeling with these things now. Is I do feel like it should be like I've been offered. I've had people come in for things that I've created and made, and when they've become successful, they've wanted to put it on the radio or whatever, and you just sort of go, no, no, you can't have it on the radio. But it'll hit more people. It's like, no, you couldn't offer me the money that I actually get from it anyway. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's a sort of, I'm lazily leading the revolution, but very lazily.
Yeah.
I just tell people not to do things. Just don't sell that. Why? Honestly, trust me, just don't do it. But I don't want to be proactive with it.
Avoid the money.
No, the money will come. It's that fucking, if you build it, they will come. Okay. It's been an absolute pleasure meeting you, Ian, and I wish you all the best with the bros. So where can people find it now? Where's the easy thing now?
The easiest thing is to find all our links at thebrovs.com,
okay,
which is the master website.
Yep.
And we're also on Twitter and Facebook at LeBrovs TV.
Smashing.
Go there and hopefully find us hilariously funny.
Yeah, and at the very least, appreciate the work that's gone into it.
Yeah, loads of colouring in, at least.
Do you know what I'm colouring
in? And all inside the lines as well.
Is it digital or manual animation?
It is manual.
Is it?
Certainly, originally, Owen hand draws everything.
Yeah.
I can't praise him enough. And I must give some name checks. Can I just give some
name checks?
We're only five people.
Yeah.
I forgot to do it.
Only do four, though. Make it really pointed. Leave someone out.
That has happened, actually, and therefore I never share the link to that particular thing. I have to mention Stig Winslet and Pete Harbour, our amazing musicians who come up with the tunes, theme tune, and our great songs and such like, and who've really got into the spirit of it. Paul Richmond, who records the voices and sorts out all the sound for us, and Owen Clark, who is our great animator. But he originally drew it all by hand.
He now
has a wonderful bit of kit. It's called a Cintiq, into which he can draw onto, and that digitally creates the image, as it were. But he has all the, we're a bit quicker now because he has all the jaw positions for the characters in file.
Yeah,
and so he sits in front of a mirror and mouths all the words that he's got to create and finds the right jaw position and just puts it into position and such. And that's making it sound very simple and very basic, but it's much more complicated than that, obviously.
No, but it's nice having a team, though, isn't it? Like,
absolutely.
You've got a team, so everyone knows what they're doing within
and
it sounds well oiled.
And he adds, you know, layers of gags, visual gags into it, and it's just great. Everyone's on the same page using a terrible phrase.
No, I hate you.
And you know, it's a great thing to do as far as I'm concerned. I find it thoroughly enjoyable.
I can hear that you're not promoting something that you don't care about. It's quite clear that you care deeply about it. Yeah, I wish you well with it, man.
Thank you, Ian.
And thank you for coming in.
Thank you for the
t-shirts. Well, someone's Connor. But I think we should. Can you still buy itching powder?
Yeah.
Inconceivable, unbelievable. Grammar like a hammer, information receivable. Sent by the Lord.
You're listening to Ian Bolesworth on Foodbar Radio, which is, of course, the home of the double play. The double play. Today we are celebrating the music of Run DMC, and we will be now hearing when Run DMC collaborated with the band Aerosmith, of course, with the song Walk This Way, which was originally an Aerosmith song, and it was appropriated with Run DMC rapping all over it as well. This is Run DMC and Aerosmith with Walk This Way. Of your double play, that was Run DMC with Aerosmith with Walk This Way, and of course part one was Run DMC also with Tougher Than Leather. That's Tougher Than Leather.
When did mashup go? I'm sorry, but I do have a fondness for mashup.
I think I prefer to do it more downbeat now. I think the show is so high energy all the time that I think it's nice to take a breath and to just step back a little bit.
The double play.
There's something I've been meaning to tell you for ages. We have a business account for the Parapod movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And in the last 6 weeks, it's not been touched at all. Like,
right.
No money has gone in or out of it in the last 6 weeks, okay? But I get, on this account, for some reason, I get a text every Monday that tells me the balance of the account.
Right.
So for the last 6 Mondays, I've had the same balance come through every Monday.
Oh.
And I started feeling slightly affronted by it, because I thought, why has no one from the bank just checked on me? Like, I could be dead.
Oh, true, because the balance hasn't changed at all, which is rare for an account, isn't it?
Yeah, no one has checked. Why is he not using his card? Why have the bank not gone, is this... Maybe we should ring someone and just get them to go and check on him.
Can I say, because I'm interested to know what bank you're with, because I tried to buy something on Argos on the other day and I got a call from my bank to check it was me. Right. Obviously, I don't shop at Argos very often. I swear to God, they were blocking me.
Who's your bag?
I was buying, just buying a little radiator.
You were buying a little radiator?
Yeah. They called me and were like, just checking you're buying this, HSBC. And I was like, yeah. Was that weird?
I think they sometimes do random spot checks sometimes.
It was a bit weird. I never knew Argos would be the cause of that. Who is your bank?
You should have just said, no, what? Buying what?
Yeah, I should have done.
And then they'd have refunded it to your account. Yeah. You could have kept the radiator.
Missed the trick there. Who's your bank? Fool.
I'm not going to speak about my business matters on there.
All right, fine. Well, you just asked me.
Yeah, no, so you're clearly happy to do it, but I'm not.
All right, fine. Okay.
We're joined now by Radu. Is it Radu?
Yeah, Radu.
Okay. Radu Isaac?
Radu Isaac, yeah.
There we go. Isaac.
Isaac. Perfect.
Earlier on, somebody told me how to say your name, but I think they overdid it.
Yeah.
They might not have. This is like Radu Isaac is the English version of my name, so.
Okay, give it to me how it should be said.
In English, it's Radu Isaac. If everybody who speaks English says Radu Isaac, then I agree.
The person that told me was giving it Radu Isaac.
Yeah, but he's Romanian.
Ooh, yeah,
is that good?
That's very correct. That, yeah.
Because he
can't. Yeah, my mom says it's Radu Isaac. Radu Isaac, yeah.
Isaac. Isaac's good.
Radu, I was just asking you off air, but we'll continue this on air, how to say the C word in that isn't such a nasty way. And what was, how did you say I should be saying
Bizda?
It? Bizda.
How would that be spelled, please?
Bizda.
And would that be considered a extreme profanity?
Kind of, yeah. It's not the polite word. And I think it's very valid all throughout Eastern Europe. It's one of the... Right. So Romanian is a Latin language. It's very different from all the other languages in Eastern Europe. But for some reason, like pizda and curva, they...
Oh, what's
curva?
That one?
What's that?
They
that?
Break just... cultural break... curva is C U R V A.
Curva.
And what does that mean?
That's like I'm gonna say it like in The Sopranos. Saying. It's basically like whore.
Whore. You curva.
So Connor would be a pizda.
What's a
And that would be curva.
No, I need to try harder for that one.
So the C word is pizda. Yeah.
What pizda. Is there a word for? Can I ask some others?
Just you can do. Hang on, Tobes. While we're doing this, could you just call Connor, please, and just have him on the phone?
Oh yeah, let's just call him a pizda.
Call him a pizda.
Pizda shit.
Then hang up. Yeah. I'm just hang up on him straight away.
Is there a word for prick?
For prick.
Like or dickhead.
Dickhead, I'm thinking.
Is this how you envisaged doing your promotion today?
It's good to know because you're about to have Connor on the...
But don't bring him in like some sort of like a novelty act.
Oh, no, because I'm interested to learn other
Tell
languages.
Tell us swears.
I'm really panicking now because if I don't come up with one quickly, it's going to sound like our country.
You've given us two good ones there. Two good ones there.
Great. We're talking today about the Eastern European Comedy Festival.
Mm. Ooh, yeah. That just happened.
The Borscht.
In February. And the Borscht is just a series of show that we're going to keep doing in all throughout the year.
What does Borscht mean?
Borscht is like a dish in Eastern Europe. It's basically like a more watery stew. So it's not really a soup, it's like a sour soup.
Okay, right.
Can you, just bear with me a second, please.
Yeah.
Connor?
Hey, Ian.
You're a pizda, mate. Pizda.
Sorry?
You're a pizda. Bye.
What is it?
So that's that.
So you can do like, if you want to call back, you can do like pizda mati.
What's that one?
Pizda what?
Pizda mati. That's a...
Mati.
Mati is kind of your mother's pussy.
Oh, fucking brilliant.
I spell that one, mati.
Mati is M-A-T...
Yeah.
I-I-double-I.
Right.
Pizda Mutti. Pizda Mutti.
Call it back again. Get
you say Pizda Matti.
Pizda Mutti.
So what does that mean?
It's like your mom's vagina.
Your mom's vagina. Brilliant. Okay.
That's the main swear word in Romanian.
That's a good one. I like that. I'm going to keep
this. Right,
it also gets philosophical.
Let's get on the phone. Hang on a second.
It goes, go to your into your mom's vagina. That's the full swear
word. That's quite a good insult, actually. Go into your mom's vagina.
Right, hang on a second. Right, let's just get Connor on the phone. Right, let's just tell him, right. hey, Connor.
Hi, Ian.
All right, mate. You know what you are?
What am I?
You're a waste of pizda mati, mate. You're a waste of it, mate.
What does that mean?
Bye. That's kind of gone. Right.
Yep. So
the borscht is a stew. It's like a watery stew.
Yeah, like a water. It's like a sour soup.
Yeah, okay. So it's a coming together of people.
Coming together of people.
We've got representatives from Romania, Italy, Russia, Poland, the Netherlands, Cyprus, Turkey, and Malta.
That's for the first show. That's happening on the 6th of May.
And is it stand-up?
It's stand-up comedy. It's regular stand-up, but just with foreign acts.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So is stand-up a thing in Romania, or is it something that...
Yeah, it sort of started in like 2003. That's when we got our first comedy club. And now it's getting really big. We have a, we've gotten like 2 or 3 years ago, we got a TV show that's like an X Factor for comedians.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And that is sort of exploded right when I left the country. So I'm one of the poorest people. That's
the income. You went, you know what, I want to go to the UK and do this. And then this is the you went, right, we'll get, let's make it a thing. You know? Yeah. I've got a feeling I know Lisanne Friedsma.
She's from the Netherlands.
Is she from? Well, so is Amsterdam. That's the Netherlands.
Yeah, that's the Netherlands. Yeah.
So she would be. Capital. Would she be a regular at Toomla? Toomla Comedy Club.
I think at the Bill Murray. That's where I saw her.
That's over here, but in Amsterdam, you think where you were,
yeah,
right?
The Toomla Comedy Club in Amsterdam, which is a beautiful,
really?
Wonderful club. Yeah, it really, really is. When I played Toomla, I did 5 nights in a row there at Toomla. This is a couple of years ago, and I came away from that going. Do you know what? I think that might have been part of my decision to not want to do stand-up anymore. Was part it was like, I only want to play this club ever. Something like that, you know?
Right.
I was like, that's how it should actually be. So then coming back to the UK was like, oh, this now really feels wrong.
Right, but they don't even give you a Pepsi over here, and some of them are saying
that,
aren't they?
No, they don't. I'm sure that name's very familiar.
I wouldn't know if she plays there or not, but yeah, comedians all over Europe, they're still cool. They're like, comedy is a job you can brag about in the rest of Europe.
It's what how did the decision come about then to bring it to the UK? What was that? Was it a marketing decision or was it
so the Comedy Borscht or my career?
Either.
Comedy Borscht, we started it in the UK. Started, I don't know, I feel people are like too impressed by me doing comedy in a second language.
Yeah.
So I thought of just let's do a night where everybody's doing it in a second language. People speak English, let's get over it.
Yeah.
And me moving to the UK was exactly for me to do it in English.
Okay. And is that your plan then to stay in the UK? Is your plan to keep your career within the UK or do you envisage going back to Romania with the I guess the skills and the experience you've gained over here?
Hopefully I'm going to get to stay.
Okay.
But yeah, I'll see. I don't know.
Is that now an issue about
Brexit.
Staying?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think I'm just kind of making the cut of people who aren't going to get kicked out. But
I don't know anything about that. How would you make the cut? What would you need to be doing to be allowed to stay?
From what I imagine, I haven't read into it. I like to kind of wing it. But when you move, from what people are talking, when you move here, you need to get like a national insurance number.
Yes.
So
okay.
It depends if you got that before the Brexit vote or after it.
Have
you got that?
Yeah, I've got it way before.
All right, I don't even know if I've got one.
Awful.
I lost my card years ago.
No, you still have the number now. The number's
I don't know
life.
It. Do you know yours?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
How do you not know your national insurance number?
I just lost the card
so
years
how
ago.
How do you get tax?
I think I contacted someone at the
office. Have you just like admitted on air that you just don't do tax?
I do tax. Of course, I'm on PAYE, so I do pay a lot of tax annoyingly.
And you pay your,
but I don't know
it
off by heart. Like, I couldn't tell you it now. Yeah, I pay all that, yeah.
So you need a national insurance number for that?
No, I know I have one. I'm just saying I can't remember it. I can't just... You said I know mine.
How old
are
you again?
It's 2022.
No, how old are you? Mid-30s, right?
Yeah.
Who gets to mid-30s and doesn't know their national insurance number off by heart?
Do you know yours off by heart, Roddy?
I think it starts with SS, finishes with an E.
Oh, right.
I thought they all start with NZ.
I thought mine started with a J, but...
Well, maybe it does then. Maybe I just assume they all start with NZ. Mine starts with NZ. My national insurance card, which you can't have replaced, by the way, apparently.
Because I got my purse stolen and it was in my purse.
Same thing happened to me.
Right, yeah. Why can't you replace it?
Maybe that's urban legend, but I'm pretty sure you can't replace it. They don't issue them anymore, we're being told.
Oh, really? So we're just old. We look really old
now.
Toby
doesn't
that.
Have one.
Right, well.
Did you just write something in the second person?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Oh, what a weird thing to do.
That is weird.
Mine was stolen from my dressing room on Skins.
Oh, it's one of the kids, wasn't it?
We were doing. No, they had. Them poor fuckers, bless them, had far worse things stolen.
Oh.
And they had. They'd all just started working on Skins. They had cameras and video cameras.
Oh.
And they'd been taking photos of themselves on set and all that. All gone. They just completely raided the entire. Because it was a location shoot.
Yeah.
And they just raided the entire. All the vans, all the Winnebagos and that. Turned them all over. All I lost was my wallet.
Right.
You just get to not pay tax from now on.
I think that's how I understood it.
It gets lost.
That was how I understood it to be the case. So,
well, I'm confused.
I don't
want
to come over all Ken Dodd, but that was how I understood it.
But I'm confused as if they don't issue cards anymore, how do you know what it is? I'm confused.
I got like a paper, but not really like a white paper, more like a more coloured paper and a bit thicker. Well, it's basically like an A4 piece of paper.
Sorry, I know this is your interview, but we're at the moment we appear to be doing... Toby appears to have taken it upon himself, after all the chat of This Is Your Life, to make this show his This Is Your Life. So Toby had a letter in the post,
like,
apparently.
Just the general one, or about national insurance?
That's how he found
just
out.
Had a letter, or great.
I would have loved it if he wrote, I had a letter in the post, a general one. Then he put, if he just put brackets, it is my birthday today.
Yeah.
What age do you get that year when you're like a citizen?
When you're a what?
When you're a citizen, do you
national
get that?
Insurance.
Yeah, national insurance number.
From birth, I believe, isn't it?
I don't think I had a card given to me at birth. I think it must be like 16. Toby's on the screen. 16, right, yeah.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah. Well, at the moment, I feel like we're helping you to stay in the country.
Right.
Yeah, I think so. The more, I just need sort of evidence that I've been here
a long time.
I've got no issue with that,
but anyone can stay as far as I'm concerned.
This is evidence that you've been here, because you are here now. Yeah. You've got a national insurance number. Yeah.
This show is going to the immigration office.
Yeah, we'll take a photo of you. Just holding up today's newspaper.
Maybe cut out the beginning bit where you're doing the swears.
No, because what's happening there is...
Oh, yeah.
...is you are bringing something... Right. You are providing a service.
That's true. We've learned some new words.
You're telling me things to say to Connor. That's
exactly. And they will let you stay for that alone.
You use less English swear words now.
Yeah.
Yes, which is a positive thing on culturally. That would be positive, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. If we had to do less swearing.
More peased up.
And also, I literally couldn't give a fuck who's in this country. I honestly could not care less.
There might be some people you wouldn't like. Like, you mentioned it, like Putin.
Just the general thing of like, oh, they can't come or they can't be. I honestly couldn't give a fuck.
No.
I really couldn't. They're so far down the list of things to be bothered about what's going on.
I'm of the same opinion, but I don't know if I should say that since I'm not like a citizen.
No, but isn't it? But isn't that a bizarre thing?
Yeah.
Isn't it such a bizarre thing? And I don't know how it's even been given any weight. Like, how over time that's become a thing. To sort of go, well, they can't come here. And it's like, what do you mean can't come here?
Right.
What bit of England do you fucking own, you idiot? Well, do you know what I mean? Is it? Well, this is my country. Is it really? Can you show me some deeds? Don't talk shit.
You don't own it. And also, it's not that they say, there's nothing specific about the person. It's them, as in anyone from that particular country. You haven't met them. You don't know what they're like.
Mental.
I don't want them coming here. Why?
Fucking mental, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely mental.
Stupid.
Just to like play devil's advocate.
Yeah, go on.
Oh, yeah.
I do think, so I don't know how big the immigration problem is in the UK, but definitely like Romania has an immigration problem.
Yeah.
And Romania is empty.
But what is the problem?
It's we have no more people.
Right.
Like, I think the numbers are, in my age group, it's something like 1 out of 2 people has left the country.
Okay. Oh. But why is that a problem? What's the problem?
Just the country can't function without people.
Oh, sorry. So your immigration problem is that there's nobody
in
your country.
Yeah. So it's still something that needs to be talked about. Like,
downsize then.
Downsize?
Yeah.
Upsize, maybe.
If there's less people there, then you operate accordingly. So you shrink to accommodate that.
Yeah.
And if somewhere's full, which it's fucking not, but people that argue, oh, we're full, we're fucking not full.
I've got spare room.
We're not full. You can't be full. It's ridiculous. Then you upsize. Then you grow with that.
Can we not go? I'd be up for a bit of Romania for a year or so, I think.
That would be cool, yeah.
Can we not move there?
We really appreciate foreigners there.
Is it quite reasonable? Cheap?
Absolutely.
Can't be like Sweden.
No, it's amazing. It's something like, for what I pay here, I think I get the cheapest rent in London ever. You could get the nicest studio apartment in the middle of Bucharest.
In Rome? Okay, how much do you think a month?
Something like... 300? What? 400 pounds?
Wow.
Yeah, the best studio apartment.
How much would a glass of wine cost there?
A glass of wine? Depending on where you're going to go. I don't even know if we're selling it by the glass, but definitely by the bottles.
The vats
of
wine.
How much?
Starts at like £4.
Oh my God. Yeah. I can live there on 300 a month and have a bottle of wine for £4.
And I'm talking like Bucharest prices. It's not even the rest of the country.
How easy would it be? Is it dangerous in Romania?
No, not really, not anymore.
What do you mean by not really?
Well, you still need to kind of get accustomed and know where to go and where not to go. And there's still some people get beat up once in a while.
Right, okay.
Okay.
But not really. I haven't gotten beaten up.
There's no one beat her up.
No one's going to. I mean, are we quite. Are we? I'm now saying I'm Romanian. Are we Are we quite tolerant with other nationalities, other sexualities?
We're never tolerant of these things. It's not tolerant. Tolerant. Accepted.
That's it. How would we.
You don't tolerate them.
I like to say that it's a completely different culture.
Right.
Like, from some points of view, you could say it's a very sexist country.
Oh.
Yeah.
But also, there's recently been like the EU made like a report of the wage gap in all European countries, and Romania's wage gap is the smallest.
Okay, so
out of all the European countries,
because there's only two
countries.
People there.
Yeah,
just one man and one lady, and that's it.
Right,
so, yeah,
that sounds all right. I feel like that should be more put out there. Cheap rent, cheap wine, people would move there.
I should probably get angry at this, but I'm going to ask you seriously: would gnats be considered feminine in Romania?
Feminine?
Would she be considered? If you look at that now, would she be considered like a classy lady, or would she be considered like a bit butch, or would she be considered?
I'm gonna say feminine because of the blonde hair. We really love the blonde hair. Sweatshirt. I don't know. You'd have to be with like the hip. We have like a hipster category of people in Bucharest.
Should be wearing a blouse.
You'd
fit in amazingly, but in some of the bigger cities.
In a hipster bit.
In a big city, you would fit in. Smaller city, you wouldn't fit in because you're huge.
But to be fair, I don't fit in smaller towns yet either.
Right. What should I wear if I was in a bigger city?
Can I just pause you for a second? You got asked, and I said you would get asked. Ask about it. That was actually a valid question. What I asked.
Well, if I look like a woman.
No, I said within that culture, and within that country, would you be considered feminine in that culture or not?
Okay.
Because I would say you were considered feminine in Western culture. Here you are.
Why would I not be?
Considered different things. It's like certain cultures. You have women that are more hairy. That would be more hirsute. You know, hirsute, is that the right word?
Hirsute.
And that would be, you know, that is considered feminine.
Right.
Over here, in certain sections, that would not be considered feminine.
No.
Rightly or wrongly. Wrongly is the word, but it wouldn't be considered.
But how would I not be? I don't understand how I could not be. It's gone because I'm wearing jeans.
Who would be considered feminine here may be considered to be more mannish.
Yeah, well, you weren't sure, Radu, either.
But it doesn't
I mean, I'm definitely not in any way.
Not here, you're not.
Do you want to be? Considered feminist? Feminine?
I mean...
Do you want to be dainty?
I've never thought about that, about being feminine. No, I can't be dainty. That would be annoying. I'm not going to go around in pearls and tweed.
Some places you might be considered dainty.
No, I don't know where they'd be.
You might be. That's what I'm asking.
Dainty in Romania?
Like in Bucharest, you'd be considered feminine.
Thank
then
you.
In a small town, you wouldn't you wouldn't be considered feminine. And then in a village, you'd be dainty.
Oh.
How about that?
What do they wear in the smaller towns? Like a little twin set and pearls and ribbons in their hair and stuff?
You're not changing what you wear for this.
No, I'm not. I'm saying the same.
Okay, what do they wear?
What they wear.
Is there a national dress in Romania?
Yeah, there is, but nobody really wears it anymore. It's a lot of flowery.
Okay.
Don't mind that.
Flowery things.
I like flowers. I like flowery things. Not flowers. I hate that.
Something made of like hemp.
Hemp? Oh,
yeah.
Smoke hemp, don't you?
Yeah, a lot of like hemp clothing.
Yeah. Hemp, right.
That's like a sack. Thing. You'd wear a sack, really.
No. I don't want to wear a sack, Radu. I'm not going to go to Romania and wear a sack.
You can get like nice hemp clothing. I think you can even buy them in London. There's some designers that are trying to mix the traditional with the new.
Yeah, sort of a doctored sack you would wear.
I'm not wearing a sack. Okay,
but just saying.
No sack. Would you wear a sack?
Wearing a sack, you'd get to be considered feminine in like a village.
And only if you put it on your head.
It's so confusing. And do you ask if a male, is he masculine if he's wearing a sack on his head?
Oh yeah, I'm not considered masculine in Romania.
Oh, okay.
Would Natalie, if she was to emigrate to Romania?
Yeah.
What do you think objectively? Not your own personal opinion, but objectively, would you say that Natalie would have a greater or lesser chance of finding a suitor there than she does in the UK?
Oh, I don't know the UK, and also Romania.
Rude.
Oh no, I don't know UK culture.
Sorry, I'm taking back the national insurance number off you. That's not yours anymore.
We don't know the UK. Come on,
yeah. Can I give you just two numbers and save myself?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know UK culture. I couldn't say about the UK. Obviously, you'd be able to find a suited anywhere. Find a suited anywhere.
But in Romania,
so what happened there? You got a compliment that was immediately undermined. So you said you would find a suitor anywhere. Anybody could find a suitor anywhere.
You got a compliment, and then I insulted the question.
Right.
Oh, good.
But
what I'm
hearing from you is I could find somewhere, but I'd have to alter. I have to wear a sack in one bit of Romania to find a suitor there. Then I'd have to wear some hemp over there to find someone. Yeah. I could wear this.
Well, Romania is a big country. It's a complex culture.
I like this international.
Yeah, we should do it on the show. We should do this more often, where we sort of find out about different cultures.
And then we see if
Nat would fit into them. Would it help? Even though you have a national insurance number and stuff, if it kicks off with Brexit or whatever, would it be beneficial to you to have married a British bride?
I think maybe if it kicks off. Okay. Also, I think I could. I think if I just work on my accent.
What are you saying? There you go for.
I'm just saying you could like.
Oh right, we'll get married.
Do you want to save me if they deport me?
Oh, I don't mind saving you. I do like your sweatshirt. On the basis of that, I will save you from Brexit if you need to be.
This is your life, and now we're doing blind date. It's amazing. Do you have a partner?
No, not right now.
Do you not?
Not at the minute. No,
I guess. It's game on, this, isn't it?
Okay. Can we have some privacy?
Yeah, absolutely. We've nearly finished the show, so yeah, absolutely can. I think it'd be fine for one or the other of you to text the other one. I think that'd be all right.
What?
Or find each
Brexit's
other on,
coming. Help
find
me.
Each other on Twitter or Facebook or whatever. Just get in touch.
Well, I need to find more about Romania because I might be moving over to Romania for a bit. That's going to be tricky, though. What if I've moved to Romania?
Yeah, it's going to have to be like a long-distance relationship. Yeah. I'm not going.
So you don't want to go back to...
Not for now. I've stayed there like 30 years.
Well, he's not even sure if I'm feminine enough a minute ago.
Follow her back to Romania.
Follow me back to Romania.
Yeah, look what you could have asked.
Yeah.
Look at that.
That's like a nice way to tell an immigrant to leave the country. Follow her back to Romania.
Get back to your country where she is.
I now consider myself to be part Romanian. Like, I feel like I've embraced it. And £300 rent a month. Lovely. I'm well up for this.
You can get a citizenship, and it's really I'm actively trying to advertise that. But foreigners, they lead the best life possible in Romania. You don't get to go in any of the dangerous neighborhoods. Okay. You just live next to the MPs and stuff.
I worry about things like that because you go, that's an appealing idea, but it's sort of like Dubai and stuff. Do you know what I mean? Where you can go and live in Dubai and all that stuff, but the fucking problems that actually causes for the actual people that do live there, and that people are really subjugated by the influx of Western. As I understand it,
I know is Dubai. What's the weather like? Because I don't like heat.
It's warmer during the summer than here, colder during the winter is here.
Snow.
Colder
during the winter. Snow, but you get to go skiing and stuff.
I don't do skiing. I do.
You can learn.
Problem, isn't it?
You can from Bucharest. It's like 2 hours to the seaside, 2 hours to the top of the slopes.
I think Natalie was very definite there.
Yeah. I don't like the beach either, so I don't know if this is for me now. I've changed it.
Okay, I can work on finding like a cheaper apartment.
A park or something.
I think you're harassing her now, Roger. I think Natalie was very definite there that she doesn't do skiing.
I don't do skiing. That's
have you done it? Have you ever done it?
I don't know because I don't.
What do you mean you don't do it then?
I don't even like the look of it. I don't like ice. I don't like snow.
It's ice.
What is it?
It's snow.
Yeah, but I don't like that. And also, it's dangerous. I don't like heights, so I'm never going to ski down.
What bit do you not like about snow?
All of it.
What?
Taste of it.
You're not meant to eat it when you ski.
The like, texture of it.
You don't even have to touch it. The skiing on it.
I don't think
you're not walking on it, so you won't have the crunchiness.
How do you feel about the rain?
Good question.
I don't. My hair. It goes very frizzy when it rains. So really, what I like is just a bit of sun, but not too hot. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, maybe Greece could be like the...
No, that's too hot. That's really hot, Greece.
Oh, yeah, that's too...
True. Now I'm going to Greece. I've been booted out of Romania. I'm going to Greece.
I don't want to be the only one feeling rejected.
No, you're right. But, I mean, what we know for definite at the end of this interview is she's fucking going somewhere.
I'm off. I need to check the property.
Yeah, we're getting ready somewhere.
Yeah, fine.
I think that's... I'm tempted even from this little chat.
Right,
to go
sounds
to
nice, isn't it? Yeah.
Can I tell you guys about like a movie festival I always used to go to before Edinburgh?
Yeah.
It's like there's like a village you can only get to by boat, and you just eat fish for like
2 weeks.
Right. And it all costs, just room and board and like a lot of fish, like 5 meals of fish a day, all costs something like £6 a
Amazing.
Day.
Do you like fish, Ian? I do love fish.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
That seems quite a lot, 5 meals a day of
all
fish,
I just thought
it?
That is, why are you booking these stoners all the time? What's this you've
brought? Sorry, this is a film festival that you get to on a boat and you have five fish meals, five a day.
Yeah, you can just have the three, but...
What if you don't want to? What if you like, just need a break? I need some chicken.
Be 5 a day of fish,
I need some
right?
chicken.
You can just stay like 2 days in the movie festival. I think you can buy chicken, but the whole thing is it's in the delta, which is something to do with the water.
And fish, okay. fish is thrown in, but you'd have to buy a chicken separate.
You have to bring your chicken from the UK.
Yeah, could you do that? Would you be allowed to bring it? How am I even asking that as a question?
No. Well,
would you be able to bring a chicken into Romania from the UK? How has it? This show got to the point where I'm with a straight face saying to someone, "Could you bring a chicken into Romania from the
has
UK?"
But also,
you that
I have
before?
An answer. I have an answer to that.
Is that?
I know that it's really easy to because there's so many Romanians here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of. It's really easy to send packages back and forward.
So chicken. Is there any? Have you ever sent chicken to Romania?
My mom keeps wanting me.
What the fuck has gone wrong with this show?
My mom keeps wanting to send me like cheese, and I think if I could talk her into sending borscht into this country.
Yeah, yeah.
Soup in the country.
Well, look. I'm fucking finishing this interview now. And it's not even your fault. It's our fault.
No, I enjoyed it.
I've got no details about this. Where are the shows going to be?
So you can
You've
basically
done one already.
We've done the festival which happened in February, and we did four shows there. Four English speaking comedy borscht is there. The 6th of May one is going to be at the Albany in Great Portland Street.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Then we're going to do another one on the 1st of June and the 30th, the 6th of July.
Okay.
At Camden Comedy Club, and you can buy tickets on eecomfest.co.uk.
Again.
eecomfest.co.uk.
Fantastic. Okay. It's been a pleasure meeting you, man. It really, really has.
Thank you very much for having me.
Do you remember the song Chain Reaction by Diana Ross and the Supremes?
We don't get music in Romania.
Do you know, oh, no, hold on. You don't have any music in Romania because this changes everything.
Okay, well, imagine this, right? So if you ever go back for a visit, you can take this back as our gift.
Okay.
Right, imagine the song Chain Reaction, right? That was by Diana Ross and the Supremes, very famous Motown.
Bee Gees do backing vocals.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a Motown song, very, very famous. But imagine it updated by Steps.
Ooh.
I've not heard this either. Amazing.
This is like classic British culture.
Yeah.
Steps!
Yeah.
Chain Reaction, everyone's favourite.
Good
hey,
cover.
I've messed up this. We've got to go.
We've got no time to 58.
Got to go, mate. Been lovely chatting with you all today. Thank you to everyone that joined us on the show today. Thank you to Ian Brown. Go and check out the Bruvs. And Radu Izag.
Pizda.
No, that
was rude.
Horrible.
But not about him.
Connor, you know what you are.
Carver.
Book up your ideas. Coming up now is the hip hop show
Harriet Thorpe.
With Sarah and Mouse. Harriet Thorpe, of course. Just took it as Tacit with thanks.
Oh, yeah, I've got, yeah.
Thank you to Natalie, and we shall see you again. Oh, it's not next week.
No, it's the 9th of whatever it is.
Bank holiday.
April.
Bank holiday or something.
Oh, yeah, it's Easter. Woo!
Whatever it is. We'll see you again. Have a good week. Bye.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes.